Hello, fellow realists. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Thursday, November 3rd. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, Wall Street's fix. Once again yesterday, demonstrated Wall Street's abiding need for cheap credit. The Federal Reserve announced its latest price for credit, called the Fed Funds Interest Rate, in a ceremony as closely watched as the Oscars. So essential and precise is the cost of credit that it's quoted in tenths of a percent, or basis points, an amount so small that we use this number for nothing else. Basis points are only used in the financial world. Now, one basis point interest on $100 is a dime. That's right, 10 cents. And not just for a week or a month. That's 10 cents interest for an entire year. Yesterday, Wall Street was anguishing over whether the Federal Reserve would raise its base interest rate by 75 basis points or 100. That's a difference of 25 basis points or 25 cents on your $100 savings per year. Such a slight difference that it's a wonder that anyone paid attention. But yesterday, it was as if the Super Bowl and the World Series came all wrapped up together. Thousands, perhaps millions of traders sat transfixed at their terminals, ready to hit the buy or sell button based on the outcome of the Fed's interest rate decision. Yes, hundreds of billions of dollars would move based on the announcement of new interest rates. It's a wonder to behold. And that's just how dependent Wall Street and our financial systems are in general on credit. In general terms, the higher the interest rate, the less investment. Had the Fed raised rates above expectations, say more than 100 basis points, they would have crashed the stock market. Those traders would have all hit their collective sell buttons together. Why they would all hit sell buttons is a little complex, but briefly, the answer goes like this. In the initial phase, the higher interest rate and higher cost of credit would mean that many of the largest investors, read the hedge funds, some exchange-traded funds, some mutual funds, and perhaps private equity funds, those who borrow money to invest, would all have higher cost of interest. It's common, for instance, to see a hedge fund borrow half its investments to buy more stock. Some specialty funds like mortgage REITs and others can borrow 90% of their investors' equity. Leverage means that these funds are always on the razor's edge. They must manage between the potential gain of holding a long position and their cost of carry, the interest rate they must pay to maintain that investment. As interest rates rise, their cost of carry increases, and sooner or later, they'll need to sell those assets to pay the interest. Why do you think the big five tech companies, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Meta, all have performed so well over the years? They're the most popular investment for these large leveraged investment companies. What makes matters worse is that many of these leveraged investors hold identical positions one to another. And today, much of the support of the market rests on borrowed funds as large investors utilize financial leverage to enhance their returns. That's also why a considerable decline in one stock, like Meta, are you listening, Meta? Can lead to a stampede. Initial sell orders amplified as other investors must also sell their investments to meet the margin calls. Selling begets selling. In this instance. And while we last saw this kind of market behavior quite a while ago, you can still bet that margin sales will be a large part of any future market decline. But declining financial markets are only the first phase of drastically raising the cost of credit or interest rates. Corporate America is not immune to higher rates. Many of the top 500 companies in America are chock full of debt. From commercial paper to short-term revolving credit to long-term corporate bonds, these companies are all highly leveraged. The retail sector is a particularly vivid example of just how far corporate leverage has gone. The average retail company borrows to purchase inventory, borrows to lease their storefronts, and may borrow for any expansion. Retailers are among the most highly leveraged companies of all, and with higher interest rates would come higher financing costs. In a recession, with its corresponding decline in sales, it would decimate a retailer's income. It would mean higher financing cost, but lower sales income, a recipe for a bankruptcy. Against this background, the Federal Reserve steps forward 8 times a year to announce its later cost of credit, an obscure reading called the federal funds interest rate, quoted in infinitesimal basis points. For many of us, it's an event that's often ignored. But the Fed's interest rate announcement will determine the immediate course of our economy in the weeks ahead. For Wall Street, it's a rare moment when we take a new financial direction. It can even mean the difference between future success or failure. In economic news today, it's premature to think about pausing interest rate hikes. With those words, Chairman of the Federal Reserve Jerome Powell put the financial markets on notice that he's not finished with tightening monetary conditions. It's strong words from the soft-spoken Powell, and a sure indication that the Fed's fight against inflation is far from over. Not since Paul Volcker have we seen a Federal Reserve take such an aggressive stance in tightening financial conditions. Volcker, you'll recall, dramatically raised interest rates back in the 1980s, the last time we had runaway inflation as we do today. Volcker is credited by most economic historians as providing the primary impetus that stopped inflation in its track. No doubt, Jerome Powell is reading that history and is following in Volcker's footsteps. Here's the issue. Volcker faced a demand-driven inflation with annual GDP growth the quarter before he began tightening, increasing at a double-digit rate. Powell faces an economy that is stimulus-driven. Although GDP growth has been nearly as high as back in the 80s, it's purely stimulus. From my perspective, inflation is already declining as the stimulus fades into history. So it's true demand-driven inflation of the 80s versus stimulus-driven inflation today. Not at all the same economic conditions. In other economic news, not to be outdone by the Yanks, the Bank of England has just announced that they too will raise their base interest rate by 75 basis points. The difference is that this leaves the English rate at 3%, one full percentage point behind the U.S. Now, a slate of economic reports are coming across my desk. First, initial claims for unemployment, coming in line with estimates at 217,000 new claims. Then the balance of trade comes in slightly hotter than expected. U.S. trade deficit for October, $73 billion. Now, big news coming from earnings. Two vaccine-related companies have really disappointed in their earnings. Principal vax maker Moderna and vax distributor Zoetis are both down about 10% on their results. This is big news. Reporting positive results today have been ConocoPhillips and Cigna Insurance Company. And that's the value side for this Thursday, November 3rd. For all of our articles, complete with charts and references, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revell. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed, strictly my own.